Welcome to Cruising Through Cinema. I am Dennis.
And I am the one and only Dyer.
The man of the night.
So you can say that.
Tonight, on this podcast, and tonight, today, this afternoon, this morning, this evening, dusk.
Whenever you may be listening.
Yeah, this is, like I said, Cruising Through Cinema, the chronological filmography ramp. Is that a word? Romp?
Yeah.
Romp is the word I'm searching for. Romp, yes. Through Tom Cruise's Thomas Eugene Math Power. It's not Eugene. I always get that wrong.
No, it's Eugene.
It's Eugene?
Yeah.
The fourth. Yes. It's a fun romp down his filmography. And this week, bi-weekly, this episode is about the 1994 film Interview with the Vampire, written by Anne Rice and directed by Neil Jordan.
Fun fact,
Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. And fun fact,
Antonio Banderas. Fun fact, Anne Rice once
not
got
dead.
Fucked Van by.
Okay, oh, excuse me. She's dead. Dead. Not suicide. We've established this last episode.
She once got fucked by a vampire, and that's why she wrote all these novels.
She wrote lots of vampire novels, didn't she?
She did. She also wrote Queen of the Damned, I'm pretty sure, which was a vampire movie starring Aaliyah or whatever.
I believe there's sequels to this film.
Is there?
Yeah, I don't. It obviously doesn't star Tom Cruise.
What if it did and we just didn't know it?
We would know it. As much as we look at his filmography.
What if it's in production now at Paramount or Warner Brothers?
I mean, he's got to make like a bunch of movies for his new deal, so.
He does. And he is immortal. He's a vampire, and we saw that he wasn't dead at the end. Oh, shit.
Queen of the Damned is the sequel.
Is it?
Yes, from 1990 or from 2002.
It's a direct sequel to Interview with the Vampire? Or is it just another one like in the lineage of vampire movies?
Well, let's look. What it's called Queen of the Damned?
I believe so, yeah.
Does it...
Because I thought for it to be a sequel, it had to actually have...
You know, like, ties...
Yeah, like when we watched the Color of Money, how we figured out it was a sequel to.
Yeah, Stuart Townsend plays Lestat.
Oh, okay.
You know, Stuart Townsend from things that you've never heard of.
I've heard of French Stuart in a minute.
He's from, you'd know him from, he was Dorian Gray in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's probably the only thing you'd know him from. But he plays Lestat. He looks nothing like Tom Cruise.
He does play Lestat.
So now we know.
That was a sequel.
Yes. Queen of the Damned is a sequel. Kinda want to watch it. How do we feel about Interview with the Vampire, Dyer? Overall, like, we always kind of just like kind of hem and haw around it, but let's just get to it.
Wait.
Scale of one.
Hang on.
Let's give it a 1 to 10.
Before we get there, I got to read the synopsis or the plot synopsis for Queen of the Damned. In this loose sequel to Interview with the Vampire, The Vampire Chronicles, the vampire Lestat becomes a rock star whose music wakes up the equally beautiful and monstrous queen of all vampires.
I mean, he was listening to the Rolling Stones on the way out of New Orleans.
Well, that's... Yeah. After losing interest in immortality, Vampire Lestat goes to sleep, awakening after a long time to the sound of metal. Taking up as the leader of an undead band, Lestat gains fame but exposes vampires, drawing the attention of a vampire enthusiast.
Holy Jesse. Shit. Sorry.
I'm in.
Did you know the movie we saw included Thandi Newton?
Yeah.
That was Thandi Newton.
It was Thandi Newton.
Huh.
Yeah.
Mind blown. She was just like a prostitute, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And she was, you know, she's been in a bunch of stuff. Westworld.
Yeah.
Westworld is what I know her from.
Yeah. She was, I mean, I'm a big Thandie Newton fan.
Well, so here's your Tom Cruiseverse. Thandie Newton goes on to play the quote unquote civilian in Mission Impossible 2.
Hmm. Interesting.
Like, she's the burglar that they want to recruit.
So she did get turned. She's not a prostitute. She was like a bar wench.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like she's the one that like they eat on, like in New Orleans in the beginning of the movie, right? Or is she one of the like women that they bring home?
I think it's one of the women they bring home.
Okay, why is it their vampirial powers? Is that the word? Is that the right way to phrase that? The vampiric powers. Does that like turn women on? Like, do they have some kind of like enchanting ability, like where they make women like get aroused?
Yeah. Because
the one girl's like getting off, then she realizes she's bleeding. He's like, oh my God, he just took a chunk out of my boob.
Yeah. So statistically,
like, I'm sure, like, I feel like that's probably explained deeper in the books.
Not statistically, but historically, vampires have always had a way of entrancing people, right? And like, women want to be with them, men want to be them type thing. Vampires are equal lovers, so to speak.
Can we, I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but the final third of this movie, the final act, so to speak, is about as gay as I've ever seen a movie get.
100%.
And Tom Cruise is the top billing here. He is definitely a supporting role. I mean, Lestat's obviously like the bigger character, but Lestat is kind of, as far as screen time, second to Brad Pitt's. What's Brad Pitt's name in the film? Lewis.
Hank.
I know we like to kind of save it for the end, but I feel like I want to be on the same page as you.
Okay.
I really like this movie. I went into it. I had preconceived notions from like a where I tried to start it, and I'm like, like a while ago, and I just wasn't digging it. I dig this.
I thought it was much better than what I originally going into it. What I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, like this. Is it a great film? No.
No.
But even like the special effects were really good for the time.
Yeah, like, yeah, sure, for 94, yeah.
I mean, sure, in 93 we had, like, what I call, like, the delineation mark of Jurassic Park, where special effects kind of kicked into overdrive, but, like the fire at the end and kind of, like, the just the digital effects in this were
really good. Did you
really
know
good. They and, like, actually, where the guy gets cut in half at the end? Like,
they actually burnt down the city of New Orleans for that final shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it took him 12 years to rebuild.
Speaking of like final,
all shots, for Hurricane Katrina to come by and knock it out again.
What was the point of the helicopter? Was that just to show Lestat was living in a shit neighborhood?
I believe so. Yes,
because like there's a helicopter that like shines into the window.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like. See, originally I thought it was like a police, right? Because it was in San Francisco.
Yeah, I was really was it San Francisco or New Orleans?
No. The end was San Francisco. Because wasn't he driving over the Golden Gate Bridge?
I don't know. I thought maybe there was a bridge like that in New Orleans. Because I thought the implication was Louis went back to New Orleans.
No,
because he's like, oh my God, movies make me not hate myself. Because the whole premise of Louis is he's a vampire who didn't lose his humanity.
Right.
Like and he has compassion for living beings. And so he basically
because goes off of
rats and feels miserable.
Because his wife and daughter died in childbirth. And he tried everything to numb the pain up until the point, until like almost killing himself. And this is, and that's when he meets Lestat, and Lestat's like, I can make the pain go away and you can live forever.
Yes.
But like you said, he retains that quote unquote humanity. And he, but you see this, and I hate to say it's a trope, but you see this trope in almost every single vampire thing. You have one reluctant vampire that doesn't want to drink the blood of humans. They try synthetic blood, they try living on animal blood, and everything like that. And eventually, it backfires on them, and they snap, and then kind of go from there.
And we would be remiss not pointing out that this is one of Kirsten Dunst's early roles. I think she's like 13 in this film.
13? She looks 6.
No, she's like 13.
Okay, can I say it? She was a cunt.
Oh, well, I mean, to be fair, she did kind of get the raw end of a deal here.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
because you know what happens? Lestat's basically, because Louis's like questioning why he's hanging around with Lestat, and Lestat's like going full on villain, like just murdering people left and right. And Brad Pitt, aka Louis's like, I can't take this, like with like the prostitutes every night, and they're like swanky, like they're in the, what's the area in New Orleans? You know, the one, the hip upcoming place.
Oh, the, yeah, French, I know, Quarter.
The French Quarter. They got like a sweet apartment on the French Quarter, and he's bringing back women, and they're getting off, and then be right before he kills them, and Brad Pitt is just not having it. Louis just can't have it. So Louis's like, forget it, screw this, and there's like a plague, and they're like, eh, whatever, and Louis's like, yeah, whatever. They're like, oh, no, I want to go back that way, there's a plague, and he's like, fuck that, I don't care.
Right, and then that's so, when he finds... No, he feeds off of the mom, doesn't he?
He feeds off of Claudia.
That's right.
Because he's like, fine, I'll have human blood. And then Lestat goes full... Because this is when Louis's like wanting to leave him. And Lestat goes full on, you can't leave me, I'm pregnant. and makes them a baby. And basically he's like... So then Louis feels indebted to Claudia. And although Lestat's insanity, like Lestat is almost like the Joker when he starts dancing around with the corpse of the dead mom.
Yeah, she was gonna die, really, because that's why Brad Pitt fed on her. He's like, well, her mom's dead, it's the plague, I'll go ahead and feed on her, she'll die. And then Lestat's like, nope.
Making her full on pregnant. You can't leave me, I'm pregnant, is what he does.
Exactly.
And then tries to spin it as like, look, I did something for you. And the other thing,
because he misses his daughter and he wanted a daughter.
Lestat is just like a groomer. Like he's just a
groomer. Oh yeah.
Lestat, like, and Tom Cruise, this is like the first time we've really seen him play a different type of role like this. As far as at this point in his career, 94, like when has he ever played a role that was like outside of the like charismatic guy?
Didn't we watch one that he's just a really bad person in it?
I mean, I guess you could say he was kind of a wacko in the, the movie with the military school.
Taps. I feel like there was one that we watched that he was just garbage.
Because even in Losing It, he's like the morally upright, charismatic gentleman.
Yeah, I feel like I was watching something.
I don't think so.
Maybe it was Interview with the Vampire.
Rain Man, he's kind of a douchebag.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, he's kind of a douche at the beginning of
Rain Man. And then the firm, he's still charismatic, but he's kind of a jackass.
He cheats on his wife in Caribbean, yeah.
Yes, like he's not a likable character. But no, there's really nothing. There's really nothing.
Okay. All right.
He's always been a likable guy with those rare kind of exceptions. But yeah. So, I mean, it was interesting to see him play that. But yeah. And then he's also like, he doesn't like tell him everything about, like, he's trying to teach him how to be a vampire, but he like withholds important information, like how you kill a vampire, because Claudia and Louis think they're killing Lestat, but they really don't. And he like feeds off the crocodiles.
Well, which yeah,
that
yeah,
she... I was when he comes back as like zombie vampire.
Yeah,
for a little bit, it's that was a giant jump scare. About poop my pants.
Yeah,
like it was horrifying.
Yeah, I remember that. But like,
because the only like crime as a vampire you can commit is to kill another vampire, which they learn when they go to London.
Yeah, but like vampires can't feed off of dead bodies, right? It has to be living.
Yeah, they get sick if they feed off dead bodies. And Claudia poisons
the, like, kids.
Yes, the twins.
And then he.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the old lady where he tries to kill the poodles.
Yeah. Well, she poisoned the kids, yeah. And he's like, "Ooh, the blood's so warm." But then she's like, "No, they're dead." And he's like, "You let me drink dead blood?" And then he like,
yeah, she like put in some agent that like keeps the blood warm or something.
Yeah, and then like, yeah, when he comes back as a zombie, I about shit my pants too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then how do they get away from him? Because he comes back.
Isn't that when they light the house on fire?
Yeah, they do. Because then they're like, yes, they, yeah. We've kind of skipped over some of the early parts, but yeah.
And he's in a weakened state and he can't chase them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They basically like burn him. And so like he's
right. They think they burn him alive, right? Or they burn him.
They try to kill him twice and failed both times.
But they think he's dead the second time, and then that's when they go to London, and then that's when he meets Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
Which, like, are we led to believe he's, like, the maker of all vampires? Like, he's Agent Zero?
Yeah, he was like, "I am the oldest vampire I know of." And he was, then they were like asking like, "So Dracula, that a thing?" And they're like, "Just the ravings of a crazy Irishman." Like basically saying, who wrote that book? Who wrote
Dracula? Bram Stoker.
Yeah. They're basically saying Bram Stoker was a dumbass, which was Anne Rice taking a shot, honestly.
Yeah. Like, but like
Anne Rice got beef with Bram Stoker.
But Bram Stoker, like, and when people talk about quintessential novels, Bram Stoker always gets brought up. Interview with the Vampire doesn't.
No, but Interview with the Vampire is a film that I feel like gets overlooked. Like, you kind of have to be in the know about Tom Cruise to, like, care. Yeah.
What do we think?
Honestly, this makes me want to read the book. I do kind of want to read the book. Interesting. It was interesting. I mean, he plays
his eyebrows. Psychotic. His eyebrows were dyed blonde as well.
Yes.
Does he run in this movie?
No. I don't think he does. And maybe that's why it's overlooked.
You know what movie's next?
Mission Impossible, which is the like start of the meme.
Or is Jerry Maguire next?
No, it's Mission Impossible.
And then Jerry Maguire.
But he did Jerry Maguire.
Are you sure?
Mission Impossible. Yes, I'm looking at the filmography right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, just fantastic. Just fantastic. I also like the point. I mean, there's just so many good scenes, like the scene where they're looking all over the world for another vampire and they just can't find one. And they go to London and then they find one in an alley and they basically just start dancing on the ceiling.
Right.
which is kind of weird. But the stage production, because basically there's like basically like a commune, I guess you'd call it, of vampires that live in these catacombs underneath the stage in London.
Yes.
And this is like 1800s London, and they do live performances of stage productions of people getting murdered. I had some questions about the logistics of that, because won't people notice people are like coming up missing, and it's like, it's the last time she was seen was like there's a bunch of witnesses that were there for the show.
Yeah,
I mean, I know they're gonna think like, oh, it's not real, but eventually the gig's gonna come up, right? Or the jig's gonna come up. Be, you know, the logistics there didn't make sense to me, because someone's going to go, hey, that virgin that was on stage, that's the person that's in these sketches of who's missing.
Right. No, yeah, I agree.
And there's all these witnesses in the audience. So eventually they're going to put two and two together, right? Or are we supposed to believe their vampirical powers keep them from remembering? Is that how that works? Am I overthinking this?
No, I don't think you're overthinking it.
That was a lot of full frontal nudity I was not expecting while watching this film. I know, with right? My wife just sitting next to me on the couch.
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable, which was the point. But I do love that the prop, the scythe comes back, and it's what chops the vampire in half at the end.
So they figure out, because he kills Lestat.
Yes.
Or killed. Yeah. And like Antonio Banderas is on his
Antonio
side.
Antonio Banderas.
Because don't they?
Kinda. I don't know. I think he wanted Claudia dead.
But he puts him in the
coffin. No, you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit. Because he puts him. Antonio Banderas is not. He wanted him to himself. But they didn't know about. Because then he could have, like, he acted like, oh, there's not time to save them both. But he could have totally done something about it.
Right.
If he's the one, then, like, in charge. Because it's implied, he even says, like, if they had a leader, it would be me.
Kirsten Dunst gets out of the movie, like, and we don't have to see her again after that. Like, she gets killed off.
Yes. So she is not in Queen of the Damned.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense. If she was
not, but
put those stats in it.
I do feel bad for the lady who lost her child that wanted a daughter that couldn't age, and Claudia sells her on it like, hey, lady who makes dolls, would you like to maybe have a daughter who can't age? Let me give you what was the business pitch like? Did she come in with like a 1800s PowerPoint? Did she have like a literal deck of?
Do you remember when she got her haircut though, and like she screams and,
yes, and like because it grows look right like back. The dolls, Louis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. The part where she sees the naked lady washing herself.
Yeah.
And then she obviously kills her, and like I like to look at her, and she's got like just this rotting corpse underneath all the dolls that Lestat's given over the years. That was horrifying. Horrifying. Like, that's what I mean. Like, this film, like, has so many little scenes that, like, just stick with you.
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't call it a horror film. It is a vampire drama. But, like, Brad Pitt's just kind of a whiny bitch the whole movie.
I liked his character. I did too. I didn't like Lestat. I didn't.
Well, you're not supposed to like Lestat. But you're also, Tom Cruise had the best performance. Arguably he has more to work with because Louis just has to be pouty.
For the screen time that he had, yes, he really commanded the screen.
Like the stats on the, in the shot, you're like, oh, shit's going down. Somebody's getting their neck bit.
Maybe they do go back into Louisiana, and then I think about it.
Yeah, because
they do go back to Louisiana. But it's like 1994 bustling in Louisiana.
I kind of want to watch Queen of the Damned now.
Christian Slater's character, right? He's the interviewer for Vanity Fair.
Yeah, Christian Slater, I had no idea he was in this. He was 100% what you expect from Christian Slater.
It was peak Christian Slater.
So are we, what my understanding is he like ran into him and like, hey, you're a vampire? He's like, yeah, I'm a vampire. And he's like, can I talk to you?
Well, he probably didn't believe him. He's like, I'm going to interview like this wackadoodle that thinks he's a vampire.
Yes.
And then, you know, he's like, hey, do you want a cigarette? He's like, yeah, I suppose it won't hurt anything. Like, you know, I'm undead. So like he run because he says he wishes he was a vampire, and Brad Pitt snaps on him.
He's like, "Is this what you not listen to anything I just said?"
Yeah, did you not listen to anything I said? Why would anybody voluntarily choose this? Right. So like he packs up his tape, and, like he's freaked the fuck out. He sprints out to his car, and like, which is a nice Mustang, by the way, and like puts yes. in, decides to re-listen to the tapes as he's driving. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, who shows up?
When he's driving his car?
Yeah.
Oh, Lestat shows up.
Lestat, and he bites him in the neck.
Yeah, and that was take, the...
He right, he bites car. Him in the neck, he takes over driving, and he says, I'm going to give you the opportunity I never got.
Which is what he tells Louis at the beginning of Louis's journey.
Right. So my understanding was that...
Yeah, I guess I didn't quite put that together.
I'm going to guess, and how I inferred is Lestat never got the choice to be to whether he died or became a vampire.
No, but he tells Louis that too. Like, I'm going to give you a choice I never had. Like, I'll give but you a choice. I didn't have that on.
Yeah, but Louis wanted to, he said, yeah, I want to become a vampire, right? Because he thought it would help ease the pain of losing his wife and daughter, but it didn't. It just made things worse.
Why? Okay, Louis's a dumbass, because why would it not? Well, how would it make things better? You were never going to die. You're never going to forget. Louis's an idiot. I hate Louis.
I don't know. I don't. I like Brad Pitt's character. With his long hair and ponytail and everything, I liked it. Because Lestat was still dressed in like his 1800s attire.
No, Lestat for life.
And then like, so my understanding was Christian Slater, he was like, hey... My understanding, like, way back, like, let's say Antonio Banderas was the original one that turned Lestat. Lestat's, like, I never got that choice. Like, I was just made a vampire. Like, because in vampire lore, like, you drain your host, then they have to suck your blood, like, via cut on the wrist or whatever, and that, like, was what brings them back from the brink of death.
Yes.
So, like, he's driving the car. And he's telling like Christian Slater, he's like, hey, listen, I never got this opportunity. And now I'm going to, you can either become my fucking homoerotic vampire lover or you can die.
Yeah. So vampires don't have sex in this universe.
They do, but maybe we just don't see it.
Do they? Do they? I don't know. It's
are vampires fertile?
I would say no.
They're undead.
They make people by having them suck their blood.
So you just become sterile if you're a vampire?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Your sperm dies. You're undead.
Blah, baby. I can... I shoot blanks. Blah.
Let me... Hey, baby, want to go back to my place and blah and do some whatnot.
Whatnot.
Whatnot. Listen to last week's episode. So Lestat, kind of an asshole, but a fun character. That's where I stand on Lestat.
Yeah, okay,
it was fun. I feel like this was the like curveball we wanted Legend to be. And this, like, delivered. Like, this was Tom Cruise playing a role that's like, Tom Cruise is doing what? Because, right. Honestly...
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Like, Tom Cruise gets into sci-fi, like, more recent, like, modern day. He's gotten into some sci-fi stuff with... excuse me. Oblivion and Edge of Tomorrow. But, like, he gets in, like... He's totally typecast. It's just his, like, suave self. For like the next decade and a half, which is fine. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is just a man that oozes charisma.
Yes, he does.
Like Lestat oozes blood from his victims. So, this film, I don't know. Do you have much else to say about it? Interview with the Vampire?
No.
I just can't get over the fact how much you and I think both went into it like with the assumption it was like a homoerotic, like weird romp.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out of it like, oh, I actually enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Like not that there's anything wrong with a homoerotic film. It's just from what I remembered watching from like the first 20 minutes, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to watch this. This just seems weird. And I had completely forgot about the actual interview portion, which I wish there would have been more of that with Mr. Robot himself.
Right.
Like, wait, that's the only thing I could have used more of that. Just he's because,
Mr. Robot? I'm kidding. I watched Mr. Robot.
Yes. Mr. Robot. Christians, I could have used more Christian Slater, like more of the interviewing, like more interstitials, which I almost feel like there is more, like if there was ever a director's cut, there would totally be more. Like, you don't have Christian Slater in the mid-90s and not use him.
No, he was big back in the mid-90s.
Yes. They really did nothing until Mr. Robot. Like, what did he do in the 2000s? I'm looking. Can you name me one thing Christian Slater did in the 2000s?
Yes, Mr. Robot.
Like, no, before that wasn't 2009. Like the 20, the single digit 2000.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So not I'll after the years. We're gonna look at IMDb, but I'm saying like off the top of your head. I'm looking if there's anything. Lies and Illusions. What the hell's that? Dylan's Cadillac.
He was in the West Wing. Oh, he was in Wind Talkers. I remember that movie. Zoolander. He played himself in Zoolander.
Okay.
3,000 Miles to Graceland.
He was in Alias for 2 episodes.
Broken Arrow, 1996. Oh, that was 96.
I mean, I think him playing himself in Zoolander is kind of like he's the butt of the joke, clearly. No, he basically, long story short, he was in a bunch of crap in the 2000s. But then you get him in like, yeah, then he starts getting into things that... He was the voice of Moses. When you hear Christian Slater, do you think voice of Moses?
No, he was in My Name is Earl.
Yeah. But no, he was in something called The Ten Commandments in 2007, and he was the voice of Moses. And it's got a 2.9 out of 10 on IMDb. It was
he was in the movie Igor as Dr. Schrodinger's.
It's a Igor. Terribly. It's like it's a CGI film that is looks like it makes this is terrible. You got to look at the trailer for The Ten Commandments on IMDb. It looks like it's, remember the cartoon series Reboot?
Yeah.
It makes Reboot look like it was high budget.
Oh, wow. Oh, he was in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? Didn't know that.
Christian Slater.
Young Guns 2? Huh. Of course, he's known for, like, Heathers and, like, he's...
Yeah. He's been not great recently, but that's okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
are we ready to slot this in the definitive list? I feel like this is one that's going to be difficult. Last episode, we did have some like quabbling.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and.
We had issues slotting The Firm.
Yeah, we did.
Let's go here. Okay, so currently. Number one is Top Gun. Number two is A Few Good Men. Three is Risky Business. Four is Days of Thunder. Five is Rain Man. Six is The Firm. Seven is Far and Away. Eight is Cocktail. Nine is Born on the 4th of July. 10 is The Color of Money. 11 is Losing It. 12 is All the Right Moves. 13 is Taps. 14 is Outsiders. 15 is Endless Love, and 16 is Legend. I think we are above, I feel confident saying we are above the bottom three for sure.
Agreed.
Do we think, so like right now, let's see, Rayman is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The Color of Money is 10. This is getting tricky.
It is.
Because I kind of don't like Born on the 4th of July. But I feel like Born on the 4th of July. What the hell were we thinking?
I don't know.
Because I kind of don't want to ever watch that movie again.
I don't.
But maybe that's too, maybe that's to its credit. Because you're not supposed to like, and it's not, if you are in a meeting and playing, doing icebreakers, playing two truths and a lie, you're never saying Born on the 4th of July is one of my favorite movies.
I mean, you don't invite people over and then like say, hey, you want to watch a movie? Sure. Born on the 4th of July.
No, but I think it's an important film. Like it's hard because his performance was really good in it. It's just never something I ever want to watch. And you do get the penis game. So you it do. Was the creation of penis.
You do. Yep.
There was a huge uptick in 1990 when that movie came out in the penis game. Huge problem in middle schools across the world.
Absolutely.
Okay. Maybe this is going to be easier. Do we think it's better than Top Gun?
No.
No. A Few Good Men.
No.
No. Risky Business. No.
No.
Days of Thunder. No.
No.
Rain Man. No.
No.
The Firm. I mean, The Firm is going to have a hard time getting bumped ever with that running scene.
Right.
The Firm is no. Far and Away. I
liked Far and Away.
I liked Far and Away, but I'm going to say no. This is still not better than Far and Away. Cocktail? No. Cocktail, I just can't. I can't not love Cocktail. Cocktail, if it had any semblance of a third act that was connected to the rest of the film, as far as tone, like, because Cocktail's like, hey, look at us. We're making fun drinks. We're dressed up in prison suits. And then all of a sudden, I'm pregnant and my daddy's going to try to give you a giant check to.
Yeah, but we got Elizabeth. Forever. We got like peak Elizabeth Shue nudity.
Yeah, no. I love Cocktail. Cocktail has a special place in my heart. Born on the 4th of July is after that. So.
Ooh. This is better than, I'd rather watch this a million times. Than
but then Born we got the Color of Money underneath Born on the 4th of July.
Oh.
I feel like we messed up.
I feel like we did too.
But this is the definitive way we do this. We can't go back.
We can't?
What did we not like about The Color of Money? Was it just because like it just kind of ended it fell flat?
How did we put Born on the 4th of July above The Color of Money?
The Born on the 4th of July makes me want to go slip my wrist and lay in a bathtub. Yeah, is that too. Bad to say? Is that wrong to say?
I want
to
slip my wrist, lay in a bathtub, and drop a toaster. If that's wrong to
say, I don't
want
to be right. I don't want to be right if that's wrong to say. Born on the 4th of July. Okay. Born on the 4th of July, like... It was well done. It was like nominated for awards for a reason. Like it was good. The Color of Money was better. I mean, we had the return of Jackie from Risky Business.
It's true, we did.
The Color of Money, like, I don't know, because then after The Color of Money, you get Losing It, and then All the Right Moves. Like you get a bunch of shit after Losing It. Or after the after Losing It, it's all a bunch of shit.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so Top Gun is one. Few Good Men. 6, 8, 9. Born on the 4th of July is currently number 9. I think that's where we're like. I think this is definitely below Cocktail at number 8. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So the key here is this better than Losing It? I would say yes.
Yes.
Losing It's always going to be like the, if you've never seen if you like Tom Cruise, like it is like the, if you want to see something crazy that Tom Cruise did early in his career, Losing It is like, holds up as a, like, it could be made today as far as like a super bad type film. Is it great? It could. No. Yeah, but like it could. Losing It is like, oh my God, Tom Cruise did Was in What? Yeah, it's just fun. It's fun. It's a fun little like nugget. Do I think I would rather watch this or The Color of Money? The Color of Money. I really like The Color of Money, but I hate the. Hate's not the right word. Born on the 4th of July, I never want to watch again.
No, I don't either.
So where do you want to put this? It's definitely not as good as Cocktail. And then we got Born on the 4th of July and The Color of Money. This is a hard one to slot for that reason. We've got two fun films sandwiching a real downer.
God, this is hard. I think I go Interview with a Vampire, Born on the 4th of July, and The Color of Money.
Okay. That you sold me. Born on the 4th of July, I would much rather like, because honestly, same reason why I would recommend Losing It, I would recommend Interview with a Vampire as far as like Tom Cruise did what?
Yeah.
But this is more of
the fact film. That he goes on to do Mission Impossible after this.
Yeah.
Because this Mission Impossible launches him into a bona fide action star.
Yeah, because he really hasn't been an action star up until this point. Like, he was in Top Gun, but like, he wasn't really doing stunts.
But he did Top Gun, and then he did a bunch of like other, like, you know, Days of Thunder and stuff like that. Sure, but like Mission Impossible like launches his like the dynasty of Mission Impossible movies, which makes him the quote unquote action star. And yeah, he's in the rom com Jerry Maguire, but like, and he's been in a few things like Eyes Wide Shut and
Magnolia,
but he primarily goes to action. Live, Die, Repeat, Oblivion, Minority Report, you know, all those things. Like
The Mummy, Mission, Jack Reacher, Edge of Tomorrow, Oblivion,
The Mummy,
Night and Day, Valkyrie. Valkyrie is fantastic.
The Mummy is so bad. I feel like that's a...
But not because of him. Not because of him. The script is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Cannot wait. Collateral. Collateral is...
Yeah.
Collateral is one of those films that I just put up there as like, it is what I would consider a perfect film. Like, there. Tell me one thing that you critique about Collateral.
Exactly. One thing... I can't. It's perfect.
Like, there are a few... There are, like, I'm not saying, like, so, it is the best...
There are two movies, like, that come to my mind where something happens that they leave it in the movie. Him breaking his foot in Mission Impossible 3. Or...
Yes.
No. Ghost Protocol. Whatever one. He breaks his foot.
It wasn't 3. It was Ghost Protocol. Which one's after Ghost Protocol? They have a naming problem.
Yeah. Anyway, so he breaks his foot. They leave it in there. And
they
then
should have left it to numbers.
When Vincent...
Was it Rogue Nation? I think it was Rogue Nation.
It was Rogue Nation, yeah. When he absolutely wipes out on the office chair when he jumps through the window.
Oh,
you know, yes. That wasn't on purpose. You know, no, they didn't do that on purpose. But he biffs it and he just gets up and just goes with it. Like, that's how Tom Cruise is the quintessential, like, actor.
Yeah, we're getting into it. We are getting into it, folks, because we've got Mission Impossible followed up by Jerry Maguire, then Eyes Wide Shut, then Magnolia, then Mission MI2, and then we've got Vanilla Sky. We're not going to watch Space Station 3D because he's just a narrator.
Right, and there's another one where he's just like a narrator. There's a music video where he's in it, but like...
Cameos we're not going to count, like Austin Powers and Goldmember.
Or
like
he's, Young Guns when he gets shot off the roof.
Yes.
Yeah.
But have you seen The Last Samurai?
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. And War of the Worlds does not get the respect it deserves.
I'm going to have to rewatch that.
I love that. I think we watched that in the theaters together. back in the day, back in 2000.
I think we did too.
Five. Yeah. I think I have Mission Impossible 3s. I've never seen Lions for Lambs.
That's never like a political thriller, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more of a return to like The Firm type stuff. Isn't it a What's His Face novel?
John Grisham?
No, the other guy. Hey Siri, who wrote Lions for Lambs?
Anthony Hopkins.
Maybe not. All right. Well, this has been Cruising Through Cinema.
And I'm Dyer.
Yep. And stay away from the stuff.
Stay away from Lee, too. He's a crybaby.